Hello, everyone. Let me get situated here. I apologize for being a couple minutes late, but my keyboard was not working. The keyboard doesn't work. I can't type in Zoom to get locked in. So we had to figure out, things. So I am going to wait on my team to tell me where my call notes are for today. I know they posted them yesterday. I cannot find them. My team has been feverishly working for all of you and tagging me in lots of things. And now I'm like, where's my notes? So let's talk about something exciting coming up for me that I am going to have some serious thought work over, which is on Saturday, my 30-year high school reunion is happening. And y'all, I am needing like all the thought work. I am really trying to decide if I'm going to go. There is a part of me that wants to go just because most of those people were assholes to me. And I would like to just go for that reason. Kara, if somebody could do me, thank you. I think Yasmin just saw my post. I don't know. Like, I don't like my reasons for going and I don't like my reasons for not going. And this is really important for all of you. This is where thought work really helps you. This is where journaling really helps you. It allows you to examine like your thinking and decide consciously about what you want to think about and like how you want to approach your life. And one of the things that I have been feeling this week is just some like I'm not excited about going. Like what I can tell is that my feelings are mismatched to what the experience should be. And so I think for a lot of you, as you're going through your life, I think this is important because this is one of the reasons why we tend to eat. It's like, we think we should feel a certain way. We think we anticipate that we'd be more excited and then we're not, and we're kind of left confused. It's like, I want you to think about your brain. When it anticipates a situation and it's supposed to be this way and it's not, your brain is very confused. And then it will create all kinds of stories to fill in the gaps of confusion. And then most of the time we're acting on the story and we're not acting on what we want to consciously believe. So one of the things I've just been noticing this week is I am not excited. I thought I would be. I feel like all kinds of, I just feel all kinds of feelings that I'm like, this is not who I want to be. And then I have like all these thoughts about the version of me in high school and whatnot. She'd kill to go to this reunion with all the success that I have. I probably daydreamed about being this version of me. And then look at me. I'm a mess. This is how y'all know that it is always your thinking that is driving your feelings. It is not your weight. It is not like a promotion. It is not what somebody says to you. I have every reason to be excited or to feel great about this, and I don't. And I just want to tell all of you, and I didn't even mean to come in here and say all this stuff. Honestly, I didn't. It's just been, I don't know. It's just weighing on my mind all morning. It's just important for us to journal. It is really important for us to listen to what our brains are saying. And it's really important for all of us to learn how to pay attention to our thinking, cultivate our thinking, decide on purpose what we want to think and believe. Because if you just let your shit go wild, if you just let your natural stuff run the show, very often you're running on insecurity and ego and all kinds of things that you don't want to run your life on. And so I've just been thinking about it and trying to decide if I'm going to go. This is, you know, the scheme of all and the like all the problems in the world, this is one of the smallest ones. But this is the other thing. You know, we all have things that don't make us happy or that upset us and stuff. And it's okay. I don't think we have to like, you don't have to judge yourself, like, for what I would consider like my petty concerns. But this is important to me. And I'm going to think about it this week, and I'm going to decide, am I going to go on Saturday or not? But I'm not making a decision today. I know that a few people who are coming, I actually did like in high school. There weren't many. We don't have that many people coming, which is a whole nother thing. My class was pretty much a group of losers. And I say that because they are like, I follow them on the Facebook, and a lot of them still act the same way they did when we graduated from high school. And I was just telling Chris, I was like, I don't even know if I want to go hang out with people like that. I was like, I don't even hang out with people like that in my real life now. Like, why would I want to go and do that? So we will see. I will let everybody know what happens. I do have to say this though. If I go, I have an amazing outfit planned. I will look good no matter what happens. So we will see. All right. Let me get to Q&A, because I'll tell you what, y'all don't need to hear about my bitching and moaning about my private life. Somebody said, go stay an hour or two. You can always leave. Oh, I know. But this one might not even last an hour or two. There's so few coming. It's not about the going. Like, this is the thing that's important, y'all. It's not about the going. It's not about the people. It's about my thoughts behind it. I don't like to do anything in my life that I don't feel like I have good intentions behind it. And right now, I've given myself basically, and I know that I've done this, I've pitted myself against two no-win situations. One is I go and I'm only going to be like an F you to everyone. You know, look how I turned out. I don't want to be that kind of person. I just don't. Like, but I know that there's a big part of me. It feels like she needs to prove something. And I just have worked so hard in my life. Like, this is the first time in a long time that I felt like I put myself in a position again to want to prove myself as if I'm worthy because of losing weight and my accomplishments. I don't want to be that person anymore. I chased that for so long. And this is just triggering so many old insecurities. And I'm not going to go someplace if that's my motivation. And then the other side is just, you know, like, I just, those people, like, I'm like, I can't believe that I even want to go to begin with. I barely liked them in high school. Like, why bother at this age? You know, like, a lot of you have good high school memories. I don't have many, barely any. And the people that I even cared about in high school, they weren't even in my class. So I will figure it out. But for all of you, it's not about the A-line. Like, I want y'all to think about, and when I say the A-line, I'm thinking about the think, feel, do cycle. It's not about whether I go or not. That is the do. Corinne goes or Corinne doesn't go. That is the most unimportant, unsexy, and boring part of it. It's, does Corinne like her thinking and feeling behind going? Genuinely like it. Really going, because she's going to evolve through this. And that means, like, evolving doesn't always happen just because you go, and it doesn't always happen because you don't. The evolving comes because you decide to show up for yourself in a whole different way in your mind. And so I just want to say to all of you, like, how does this apply to weight loss? This is exactly how I lost weight. I spent way more time thinking about what I thought about and deciding to think about the version of me that loses weight. Like, how does she show up each day? How does she think each day? What does she say to herself? What does she not say to herself? I remember so many times while I was losing my weight. And if you're in Don't Stop Believing, this is one of your quick fires. It's coming out. I recorded it yesterday. I remember so many times my old thinking would come up. So one of my most famous stories ever when it comes to weight loss was when I was on a huge stalling plateau. And y'all know that we've done conquering the scale. We have done stalls and plateaus. And I was literally, y'all, I was training for a triathlon. I had not broke 200 yet. I had never rode a bike in my life. I had to learn how to swim with a book and a plastic bag next to a pool. I didn't even know how to breathe out my nose until I just stuck my head under the water and figured it out. I was eating better than I ever had. I was just a different person. And I was loving what I was doing. And for like 6 weeks, that motherfucking scale would not move an ounce. I've never in my life ate better or exercised more. And then actually liked what I was doing. That was like the surprising thing to me. I had in the past exercised hard and changed the way I ate and hated every minute of it. This was like the first time in my life that I was losing weight and actually liking it. And it was all because I kept changing how I talked to myself. And so like by the sixth week, I was at my like wit's end. And you know how like you get to a point to where like you can kind of work your mind and you can kind of like stay focused and stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like you just hit the tripwire and then all of a sudden old shitty comes raging in. Well, that was me. I'm sitting there weighing in and I'm lost again. I had just been bouncing around the same stupid 2 pounds. And all I wanted to do was get to, you know, 199. I was just wanting Wonderland like it was nobody's business. I got off the scale and I was like, fuck this. If I'm going to work this hard, I might as well eat whatever I want. Because if I'm not going to lose weight, what's the point? And in that moment, like, I mean, that voice, I might as well said it out loud. It was so loud and it just come out of nowhere. And I've not been talking to myself like that for a while. And I remember stopping in that moment and telling myself, oh no, like, Corinne, you are doing too good to stop now. That is your old thinking. That is shit we've always told ourselves. And that's the, it made sense to me. It was like, girl, this is exactly why you have never lost your weight. It's because you entertain shit like that. And I was like, that's not what we're doing. And I just told myself, you like what you're doing and we are just going to keep going. And I know we'll get there. I mean, I just like, I promise you, I had no idea I was going to lose all my weight. But I knew that if I quit and I kept talking to myself like an a-hole, nothing was going to happen. I knew that. And I also knew the only way that I was going to lose weight was to keep fucking going. That was it. And that I'd come too far and that I was trying, you know, all kinds of new things and that I was like my life, no, even if the scale wasn't moving, I knew my life was better for the way I was showing up for myself. And y'all, and that's what it takes. You know, like paying attention to how you talk to yourself, not expecting your, like, just like me today, I'm not expecting the petty version of me to go away. I have compassion for the version of me who wants to show up and just be like, look at me. I'm amazing. Don't you agree? But I don't want to be the person who relies on that anymore. And so like I hear like that old shitty coming back in, that version of me that was just desperate for people to love me, desperate for people to accept me and tell me that I'm good enough so I can feel like I'm good enough. Those voices don't ever go away. And you never know when they're going to rear their head. So the only antidote that any of us have, it's not to like be mad when it comes back or to shield ourselves. The only antidote that we have is paying attention, listening, noticing, like, even if you can't hear your thoughts, noticing when your feelings don't match the experience you think you're supposed to be having. So for all of you, listen to your thinking. Don't judge it. Pay attention to it. And just actively decide, is this who I want to be today? If it's not, change the conversation. And change it as many times as you absolutely need to. I say this all the time. I would so much rather, like, for many of us, we're going to go to bed exhausted every night. Some of us are going to bed exhausted because we talk to ourselves like an asshole as we get through our day all day. We should ourselves. We are always trying to prove ourselves. We're busy people pleasing. Like, we're going to bed exhausted because we're not listening to our conversations in our head. We're just letting them drive us into the ground. The other half of us are going to bed exhausted every night because we are changing the conversation. It is hard and tiring to pay attention to your thinking, to actively decide to think something new. Because when you pay attention to your thinking and you actively decide to think something new, guess what? You're probably now also doing things that are outside your comfort zone. You're probably now doing things that scare you. You're probably now doing things that challenge you. You're doing things that you're so worried or doubting that they're not going to work. So you have to experience all of that. I'd rather go to bed every night exhausted from doubt and fear, and I did stuff anyway, than to go to bed exhausted every night from doubt and fear and not doing shit about it. And just keep that in mind. All right. Now for the planned portion of our call today. That was the totally unplanned version. let me get my notes out. I need to get them going because I actually have a really good question for everybody today that someone submitted in the Facebook group that I think would be really good that I would love to. All right. First off, we are, if you don't know, this is Q&A. So if you're brand new to No BS, this is a Q&A session. I will be answering questions in a few minutes. Usually we kick off a little sooner with questions or a little teaching, but we are going to get to the questions. We're in the middle of the Doable Hunger Challenge Week. So I hope y'all are enjoying it. I am loving it. This morning, I'm waiting for real hunger. So today we had a this or that. You could eat past full to really experience on purpose what your body feels like when you eat to past full. And then we're the other half is get real hungry today. So let me tell you the benefits of the why you would want to eat past full. For those of you that have a sexy story around it, like, I just love being full. It's so comforting. There's like some of us, and I'm raising my hand here because this was my story forever. I always thought I was a quantity girl. Like, I was like, I just need lots of food. That's the way I was raised. I had 1,000 thoughts about it. Until I started on purpose eating to full and past full and paying attention to every nuance. Now, there were still parts where I was like, oh yeah, this is what I like. And then I would actually pay attention to my body and be like, oh, I can't hardly breathe. Like, you know, it's a little tight down here in the end. Like, I started noticing this is not as comforting as I thought. Like, I think I'm used to it. I think it is what I've always done. But now that I've actually paid attention, I'm like, well, this blows goats for a few reasons. It's not as good as I thought it was. It gave me some reality and perspective. And then it allowed me to start ratcheting back a little bit because now I didn't have to just tell myself, I love being full. It's the only way I like to eat. I could tell myself, I've ate to full in the past. But what I'm realizing is now that I'm older, doesn't feel as good as it used to. It gave me an opportunity to have a new story around it, which made it easier for me to start eating to enough versus full. Then we're going to wait on the real hunger. Today, I will be waiting on the real hunger, which I will just tell you all right now, I am in it. So I woke up early this morning. I did a big leg day. I did Marcel Dinkin. No, it wasn't Marcel. It was Kirsten Ferguson's Peloton. We did a 15-minute, I think it was a hip-hop walk. where she had my ass walking at 4.5 miles per hour at an 8% incline at one point. I'm like, this is no 15 minute just hip hop walk. I was dying by the end of it. Then I had to get ready for y'all. And I'm hungry. I was hungry before I even started working out. But today, waiting on the real hunger. So the point of doing that for a lot of you is to show yourself you can wait for it. So there are times in life where we are going to get really hungry. Sometimes you got to have a colonoscopy. Sometimes you get a flat and you ain't got a snack and, you know, shit rolls downhill. You in a meeting and then you get called into another one and another one and another one and you don't get to eat. You work at a hospital. You're a nurse. It's real busy all day. You ain't got time to eat. You have to prove to yourself that you can get really hungry and it's not an emergency. You go like 3 or 4 days, we're probably going to be in emergency land. The human body, though, is designed to go 30 days without food. I think it's like 3 days without water and your body shuts down. 30 days without food and your body starts acting the donk. Now, I am not advocating starving. I am not advocating fasting or anything like that. It's to give you perspective that very often we don't eat from like, we maybe eat breakfast at 8 a.m. and it's 6 o'clock at night. And we're like, oh God, I need to make up for it. I ain't ate nothing all day. I'm starving. I need it like I can eat extra. We act like sometimes when we miss a meal, like we should get credit, bonus, more food, or we tell ourselves how terrible it is. Like, I just, you know, I can't handle it. Yes, you can. The majority, like, y'all are all women. Here's what I know. A lot of you had babies. If you can birth a fucking baby, you can skip a couple meals and not need to eat a Golden Corral buffet. If we can squeeze watermelons out of our hoo-ha, I'm pretty sure that we can make it without lunch sometimes and it not be a catastrophe. But we have to tell ourselves shit like that. We do all kinds of things as women. We take a lot of shit from society. There's so much that goes on for women. Like, remind yourself in those moments when you are really hungry, just say, I'm used to making this a way bigger deal than it is. That's okay. That's why I feel so panicky. But I am a no-BS woman. I do not need a fainting couch because I didn't get lunch today. All right. So we are in that challenge. So do it this week because each one is going to help you really figure out like what your hunger is and what your enoughness is. The reason why we bridged it this week, we call it a bridge week where we are between two programs, is because we really wanted you to reset for the summer what your hunger cues are, what your enoughness is, so that when we go into the big workshop this Saturday, so if you're here and you're an OBS woman, don't forget, this Saturday, our summer reset starts. So we had a January kickoff this year with Mission Possible. Now we're doing the summer reset for all of you. So at 9 a.m. Central Time, I will be live with all of you. We sold this to the public. So some of the public is coming, but all of the no-BS, y'all just get it for free. That's part of your membership. From 9 to 1, we are going to get after it. And you can go to the website and get all your materials. It's in the newsletter. We've got it everywhere. You're not going to miss it. If you need a link, ask in the chat, ask in the Facebook group, ask and ask coaches, but it's all over the website. We want to make sure it's easy for you to find. And you will want to come live if possible, because we are going to be giving away prizes. All right. So we want to make sure that y'all get your prizes. We're going to give some cool ones. Also, next week, we start Stalls and Plateaus. There are 8 lessons, and we have taken not only some recorded lessons, but we took some of our best coaching calls on Stalls and Plateaus to show you, like, with the lesson, what does it look like when somebody gets coached on it? And what were the ahas? So for a lot of people, this is going to be really good for the summer because we are not only resetting our hunger and enough, and then we're going to get our protocols down. We're going to figure out how we're going to eat through the summer. We're going to do all the things on Saturday, and then we're going to work on stalls and plateaus so that no one starts the summer like hanging out on the like on a stall. Somebody asked, are we going to be interacting with the public to encourage any future NoBS women? Yes, they'll all be in the chat with you. So everybody will be in the happy chat all together. And then there's also going to be a special graphic for anybody who busts the stall in Plateau next month. So be looking out for that. All right. Let's do this. We have one member who lost 100 pounds last week, Miss Penny Nagy. She says, I love being a NoBS woman because of all the support you get and can give. I am a firm believer in you get in what you put in. And the women in NoBS put their heart and soul in to help everyone in the NoBS family. So congratulations, Penny. Welcome to Century Club. Everybody give her a round of applause. And we also have, let's see. I think 8 new members of the Queen's Club. So welcome to all of you. You can go to the website to find out all kinds of information about that underneath the menu. And then here's the first question. We actually pulled this one from the Facebook group, and I really want to address this because I thought it was a great question. So whoever posted it, I'm very proud of you for posting it. Just curious, how do you plan food for your birthday? If y'all don't know, July is my birthday month. You will all be going through a special July challenge. July is always a big month inside of NoBS. So we will be launching the first module of our new maintenance course. We have all kinds of maintenance people. You better hold your horses. I can't even tell you all the surprises we have coming for you. It's not just a course. It is a whole big thing for y'all. So be prepared. But for everybody else who's not in maintenance, July is a challenge month. So we don't do challenges every month, but we do them when they matter. And so everybody is going to be challenged to donate to me some pounds for my birthday. And we're going to have some exciting things planned so that all of you can do it. So she wanted to know, do you plan for ice cream and cake and a special meal? She says she's torn. I want all of those things, but not sure it's good. It's a good enough reason to have them. Not sure I really need to plan for them. Then I worry that I'm being too restrictive. So I wanted to say this about it. Always remember when it comes to food, what you eat, what you plan or whatever, that is on the do line of the think, feel, do cycle. It's only restrictive if you have thoughts about what you plan that are coming from restriction, like, I shouldn't eat that. I can't have that. If I eat that, I will gain weight. So I better not. So that would be the kinds of thoughts that would lead to restriction and then probably not planning. Or if you did it that way, you might risk fuck it eating. So one or the other. So you may not eat, but the only reason why you're not eating is because you're telling yourself all the reasons why you can't, which is not what we want to teach you here. We want your choices to be from abundance, from empowerment, from taking control over your life, not from those things. So here's what I do my birthday month. I haven't had cake, a special dessert, or anything like that in years. And it comes from this thought. I don't need that anymore to celebrate my life. That doesn't mean that that's the right choice for you. For some of you, you want the cake. You want a special meal and stuff. And it may be for you that your thought is like, this is how I want to live my life. Like, I want to be able to eat something special on my birthday. It's how I choose to celebrate. That's empowering. Just like for me, on my birthday, I don't need food to make it special anymore. But that's because over the years, I have talked about my birthday just being special because it is the day I was born, because I deserve to celebrate myself. And when I got into the mindset of that, what I realized is that the desire to want to do it with food lessened. So for this question, Here's what I want y'all to be thinking about, because this is not just about a birthday. This can be about celebrating people's graduations. It can be about celebrating Mother's Day, Father's Day. This can be about any kind of thing where food is a part of the celebration. It's always the thought that you have. And it's important to write about, like, so if I'm going to plan this food, why? Like, if I was going to plan cake because I think that's the only way that I can feel good on my birthday. Well, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be the kind of person that the only way that I can feel good on my birthday is what I shove in my mouth. I want to be like, well, that's interesting. Like, if I want to feel good on my birthday and cupcakes weren't going to be a part of it, what would it be like? So you just want to look at it and see what happens. Now, for me, on my birthday, I have drinks. I do. This is my version of a birthday cake. I love a White Russian. If you know anything about a White Russian, it is basically heavy cream and booze. Like, Corinne cannot be drinking White Russians every week on date night and expect to keep her weight off. So it's my special occasion drink. And I have one on my birthday almost every year. Now, I didn't have one last year. It was just hot as fuck. And we were at the pool all day. And I was like, oh, I'm not in the mood for White Russian now. But to me, it's like one of those drinks where I say, like, it's a worth it drink. And on my birthday, it's like, that's the day that I would have a worth it drink. It deserves VIP space in my belly. I love them. I like them. I don't want to have them all the time. And I want it to stay special. That doesn't feel restrictive. That also opens it up to, if I feel like doing it on my birthday, I will. If I don't feel like doing it on my birthday, guess what? I just won't. It's all in how you talk about it. All right. I am supposed to bring up a coach. I was sitting here thinking, wonder why I have so many calls. Dina, you're up. I'll get you in. I'm going to start answering questions and you can start answering questions too. And let me just talk about Dina for a minute. I'm glad I said this. Let me say this. Here's one of the other things that I think that the diet industry bastardizes for all of us around food. Many of us, like when it comes to food and holidays and stuff, there is a cultural significance behind it. That to me is a beautiful reason. Like for me, like when I go, I don't eat a lot of fried food, but when I go to visit my mom is probably going to fry chicken. She's going to maybe fry me some livers. She's going to make me something that is Southern, juicy, and good. And for me, that's like part of my heritage. My granny fried me chicken livers. She made fried chicken. I remember Sunday dinners. Like it has like a, a nostalgic pull for me. And so when I go to Florida, that's worth it to me. I was never overweight because I was selectively choosing things that mattered to go into my body. Like I was overweight because I had no filter. I didn't think about it. I gave all food equal importance. When I felt bad, I ate. The only way I knew how to celebrate myself was to treat myself with food. I was overweight because of those reasons. I lost my weight and have been able to keep it off because now I'm intentional about it. When I have something, it matters. I don't just grab ass. And if I catch myself emotionally eating, I work on the emotions. I work on my mindset. I don't beat myself up over it. I go to work on, like, I know that's not who I want to be. There must be something going on the inside if food is now becoming a solution to something. And I want to figure out what's going on the inside. I don't want to just take food away and leave what's going on the inside. So I want all of you to be thinking about when it just comes to food. It is important. It is a significant part of life. It is part of celebrations and stuff. But I just want you to really love your reasons. Don't just do it because you always have and you haven't questioned it. Just like for me, I don't need the food anymore to celebrate me. I used to. And nowadays I'm just like, there's so much goodness that I pay attention to in my life. I don't need the food to give me a highlight reel anymore. And that's what I used it for so long. Food was my highlight reel every day. I talked about what I was like, I'd be, you know, getting ready to eat breakfast and asking Chris what we're going to eat for dinner so I could base what I was going to eat my breakfast on. The only thing I looked forward to most days was the meals, because I didn't know how to look to my life, create a life that I look forward to, or at least start looking at my life and having more gratitude and appreciation and stuff for it. All right. I know all the things. That's a beautiful way to start this off, Anonymous. I am still choosing to eat at night. Am I just in belief that it will never happen for me, or am I just being stubborn as hell and ignoring what I know I can do? Why do I not want to let go of the eating? I know I have to answer these questions, but would love your input. The reason why you're not letting go of the eating is because you're not willing to be uncomfortable at night. Plain and simple. You do know, like, all of us know, in order to not eat at night, we have to not eat. There's no magic trick. There's no fairy coming in that's going to make it all better so that it's not going to be a struggle. The first few times that you don't eat at night, guess what? You got to be sitting there and you got to be willing to feel like ass. You're going to be nervous. You're going to be antsy. You're probably going to go through, like, it's kind of like the five stages of grief. You're going to get angry. Like, there's going to be all the things that are going to happen. Are you willing to do that? That's the real question. Are you willing to sit with the urge and breathe instead of cave? Are you willing to do it one night just to see what the experience is going to be like? Sometimes the experience is never as bad as what we make it out in our brain. And sometimes the experience is hardcore. But this is what I think a lot of you are doing. Is I think you're waiting for the day. It's like, Corinne's going to say something that's going to make it to be like, you know what? Tonight's the night. I'm just not going to do it. And it was easy. That day is not coming. It's just not coming. Here's what's always going to happen. You're going to wrestle with the decision. You're going to know all the things that we've taught you. You are going to have a lot of thoughts about it. The best thing that you can do for yourself is to first answer this question. What do I think is going to happen if I don't eat? If your story is horrific, then you will have dread and anxiety all day about it, and you'll cave at that moment. Now, you can be realistic, but I want you to actually be realistic. A lot of you are saying things like, well, the urge will start. It'll never end. I won't be able to go to bed. I'll starve. You have a lot of inflammatory language around it. This is where I would do the four N's. First, notice all the thinking that you have about what it's going to be like to not eat tonight. And write it all down. And then just tell yourself, it is normal for me to, I had to look at what Dina was telling me. The second thing you tell yourself is, it is normal. I have told myself this horseshit for a long time. It's going to come back tonight, I am sure, but I will be prepared for it. And then you want to neutralize it. So then you want to go through all of your story. And you want to get it neutral. So, like, number one, I'm going to starve. I'll probably go to bed. Let's do this one. If I stop eating after dinner, I'll probably get hungry by 9 o'clock and it'll be miserable. So this is where we say to ourselves, all right, the neutralized thought would be, I might get hungry at 9 and I might not. I don't really know because I ain't fucking tried it. That's the neutral thought. So you have to go through and you challenge each thing. Like, my urges will never end. What's the neutral? I'll have an urge. Like, that's it. You don't know if they won't end. It could be one long one. You might actually breathe through it and it not come back, but you don't know. Then, so you just got to take each one of them, every one of them, neutralize them. And this is the thing, like there's a Me Too movement right now going on in the chat. Sometimes I love a Me Too movement. Sometimes I don't. In this moment, I love the Me Too movement. Here's what I would do. If you're sitting there going like, oh God, that's me. Oh shit. She's saying it now. Go to the Facebook group immediately after this call. And I want you to do this. I want you to say like, four ends for nighttime eating. First one, here's all the things I notice in my thinking. Here's my normal, like, here's me normalizing it. For most of you, I'll just give you your normal thought. I have thought dramatically about nighttime eating for a long time. It would make sense that this is my story. If you've never tried to change your story around your nighttime eating, it makes sense that it's just going to throw up whatever you've always believed. Then I want you to go into neutralizing it. And I mean, bitches, take it one by one. Like, this should be like 20 minutes of typing. I want you to like list it. Let me just grab this. Sorry, y'all. Like, when you do your four ends, so you're going to do your notice. And you're going to just like, this is your free writing. Okay. Then you'll neutralize. I gave you that. So this is, I've always thought this when you do, this is normalized. Sorry. Let me just scrub that out. So we're going to normalize. And I gave you that. Now we're going to neutralize. Here's to me the easiest way to do it. This is how I do a lot of my journaling, and it makes sense for my mind. That's because I'm a list maker. Thought one, from what you noticed. Thought two, from what you noticed. You are literally going to list them out in order of like, here's what I noticed I was thinking. I would write that sentence down. If you want to do it on a sheet of paper, you can draw a line like, this is what I noticed. And this is the neutral version. I would do it just like this so that you can calm yourself the fuck down. Because that's the whole point of neutralizing. We have to, for nighttime eating, we got to calm your brain down so that when it goes into the evening, you are not jacked up on anxiety and cortisol. You want to go in ready, willing, like allowing all of the emotion that's going to come for the ride. We don't need extra on top. Y'all have heard me talk about a shit sandwich before. It's like sitting through the urge is going to be uncomfortable enough. Like your brain is going to ask for food. Your mouth's going to water. A lot of you will like not be able to, like you'll want to watch TV and you'll know it's like, I can't even pay attention to my TV. Oh my God. And then your brain is going to race with 1,001 different things. Like, well, if you're not going to eat, you probably should be up washing those dishes that you left behind. You know, if you're not going to eat, you should probably should check your email real quick because tomorrow you're going to be behind at work. You didn't even finish all your work today. I mean, your brain's going to be a bitch on fire. So if it's going to have that, here's what we don't need on top of it. Oh my God, probably going to starve. You know me, if I don't eat, this is going to be terrible. I'll never sleep tonight. I probably won't be able to, like you don't need your shit sandwich on there. We don't put mayo on the shit sandwich. We're going to eat it dry. All right. Then the last part is like your next best thought or action. Here, this is what I would tell myself. Knowing what I know about my story around nighttime eating, my next best thought or action is to tell myself, I can try this tonight. I will do this tonight so that I at least can see what it is like instead of sitting around. Because here's the thing, like my anonymous person, you're like frustrated that you're not doing it so that you don't have to be frustrated while you're sitting through an urge. So if we're going to be frustrated no matter what, why don't we at least be frustrated in a way that fucking helps us? Then your next best thought is, like, I will try it tonight. And then write down all the things that you're going to do to make sure that you actually pull the trigger. I don't care if you need to, like, get a partner in crime. Like, when a few months ago, I had gotten back to where I was, like, having a bonus snack after dinner. And Chris is, like, terrible. If I want to have snacks, he's like, I'll have snacks. He's such a little accomplice. And so I looked at him one night and I was like, that snacking ends tonight. I was like, I don't care if I offer a BJ. Like, you don't bring food in this room. We are not eating tonight, sir. And I was like, I'm going to beg. I'm going to tell you I can start tomorrow. I'm going to tell you it doesn't matter. I'm going to, like, there's 1,000 things that are going to happen. And I just told him, I was like, no, don't do it. Like, we're not going to eat. And you don't eat. Because if I try to go get food and he's sitting there not eating, then I'm like, well, I probably should. Like, at least I tripwire inside of me, like, that extra layer of accountability. You can take your favorite foods that you like to nosh on and to be like, you know what? I'm going to Target. I am buying one of those Rubbermaid buckets, and I am going to put all that crap in that bucket, and I'm going to put it somewhere in the house. I'm going to have my 4-year-old sit on top of it and just be like, you know what? Tonight, don't let mama get in the box. You know what she's going to do tonight? She's going to relax. She's going to learn how to relax without the food tonight. Whatever you need to do, just pregame you some solutions. There's nothing wrong. Like, I remember for a while, there were these, Logan, I don't remember what it was that I liked. Some, this was a long time ago, years ago. There was this snack that I liked that Logan loved. And I eventually just told him, I said, you know what, Logan, those are now yours. Those aren't Corinne's or mama's. And I told him, I was like, baby, if you see me eating them, you just need to say, like, oh, mama, I thought those were mine now. That was enough to break me out of the habit of eating them. God, I wish I could remember. It was some kind of cookie that we used to like. All right. I've been through the stalls and plateaus score, still unsure how long a true stall will and can last. I must have missed this. But 3 weeks. It's in the videos. If you will look at the guide, I believe I say that, like, once you hit the 3-week mark, here's the basis of it. If you have zero overeats, zero off-plan eats, and the scale's not moved in 3 weeks, you are actually probably on a stall. This is homeostasis, maybe. So you just want to figure out, like, after about 3 weeks of zero overeating and zero off-plan eatings, if your body's not moving, we do want to shake things up in the food. If you have some overeats, some off-plan eats, and it's been 3 weeks, you cannot call it a stall or plateau yet. You are now in the land of, oh, I have work to do on overeating. I still have work to do on off-plan eating. We want to make sure that we're really focused on what the true problem is. A lot of times we want to say, like, my weight is stalled while I'm still, you know, grab-assing off of somebody's plate. We're not stalled if we're grab-assing off people's plates. We're not stalled if we're eating past enough. We are not stalled if we are, like, changing things up on the fly. The way to know if you are stalled in your weight loss is to get consistent. Now, a really good way for a lot of you is, like, if you are like, but I keep breaking plans, then go back to the realistic plan. Go back to having a doable plan that you can 100% follow. So that way, what you start learning is the way that I plan my food and truly eating to hunger and enough, is that going to continue to work? Because sometimes what happens is, like, when I first started losing weight, I could eat pancakes every day. I could still eat McDonald's every day. I could do all kinds of things. If I just cut back a little, I was fine. I was losing weight. Then I hit a point where you know, pretty much eating McDonald's every day wasn't going to cut it anymore, even if I ate till enough. I need to figure out how to add fruit into my day. Like, instead of having, you know, ice cream for dessert, I switched to fruit. But I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't really good at sitting there making sure that I knew what I was putting in my body. And then what this is what it allows. This is where a lot of you also get lost. It doesn't mean that suddenly certain foods are bad for you or don't work for you. What I would tell myself is like, all right, these foods that I keep trying to eat to lose weight, is it worth keeping all of them and this be my new normal? Or is there anything that I'm currently eating right now that, because my life is leveling up, because things are changing for me, do I still need them as much as I thought I did? And that was like a huge shift for me. I started realizing that when I went to work on my life and how I talked to myself and how I treated myself, I did not need the food like I used to. It was my highlight reel. It was what I looked forward to because I had nothing else. I never gave myself an opportunity to look forward to anything. All right. I have a question. I'm currently doing great. I'm choosing amazing thoughts and actions, and that is all being wonderfully reflected on the scale. So my question is, should I add the Summer Reset Program plus Stalls and Plateaus class, or should I just keep rocking what I'm currently doing and not add anything extra? That totally depends on you. I would do the Summer Reset. One, it'll be fun. Like, this is the thing. These concepts that we're adding in, it's not like now you got to do extra things. The four basics are about all we ever do. What we do, like in the Summer Reset, is like, all right, here's another opportunity to examine my thinking again, to kind of see like, how do I want to be living my life? I want to think ahead about my summer. I want to like notice what my obstacles are going to be. I want to get excited to be able to add these foods. And here are the foods that I probably like, I just don't need anymore. Like, it gives you an opportunity to do that. Stalls and Plateaus, Jennifer, if you want to save it for when you hit one, that's great. But for most people, I always advise you just to like, if you like, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to like take in some information that's suddenly going to slow you down. Nothing's ever going to slow you down that way. But if you like don't really have, like right now, it's like, I don't really have the time to dedicate to it. Save it for when you need it. That would be fine. I'm excited to get to the work this summer. I'm a teacher, so I have 2 months to really focus on no BS. However, I struggle with the perfection thinking. I want to do no BS justice and get my money's worth, but I also hyper-focus and burn out. How can I balance doing it but not trying to do it perfectly? Then don't do it perfectly. The simple answer is stop saying that there's a right way to do no BS. There's not. Let me ask you this, Ms. Neves. If you had a kid that came up and said, Ms. Neves, I really want to do your classes perfectly. Can you give me an exact way to like do all of the studying and how to read the books and like how to like totally absorb myself in everything that you're teaching? What would you tell your student? You would probably not tell every student the exact same thing. You are the same. You are my student. We give y'all outlines and stuff, but the best way to do it is like, one of the things that you're setting yourself up for is like, I want to do no BS justice and get my money's worth out of it. That probably already adds pressure right there. I will tell you this. It does not matter how much you listen to no BS. A lot of y'all think you don't have all this time. Y'all, we keep your videos short. If you use your private member podcast, you can listen 2 lessons in less than 20 minutes a day. All the courses, we keep the lessons short. These calls are always longer. Break them up. Don't listen to them all in one shot. Listen to half of it. Listen to 10 minutes of it. You'll always get a little something out of everything. So what I would do is I would start with the Nobius course. If you've already taken the Nobius course, start then with basics, like go through the summer reset on Saturday. That's going to get you aligned for the summer. You'll design a new ideal day. We're doing three different versions of an ideal day. We're doing like our weekday, our summer weekend, and then our like vacations and holidays ideal days, because they're all different. I would start with that. Then I would, if you're getting started, I'd either do no BS or I would jump into Basics 2.0 if you've already done no BS. And I would spend June doing that instead. Basics 2.0 is a really good course for a lot of you, especially when you finish no BS, because it dives a lot deeper into hunger and enough and planning. We really start getting into the nuances of everything. And it was a very comprehensive course. It was like 30 days. I went live almost every single day with the membership. It is a super good course. So for those of you who really want to like understand the basics at a whole new level, that's a great one to do in June if you don't want to do stalls and plateaus. You know, if you're not currently, like if you're like, summer's when I'm resetting, summer's when I'm getting started, because like, you know, it's a little harder for me here. Go through Basics 2.0 first. Then you'll be rocking and rolling. I'm feeling confused about how hungry I ideally should be before I eat. Since being in no BS, I was trying to eat when I was hungry, not starving. But then with the doable hunger challenge this week, I feel like we were supposed to be really hungry before eating. Please help. We're not supposed to be really hungry before we're eating. The doable hunger challenge this week is because a lot of people are very afraid to get hungry, or they're not really waiting. It is to show you what real hunger is, and then you can dial it back to what you feel like would be those first whispers of hunger. So on today's post in Facebook, I know that we put in there not only the this or that chart where you can like test your hunger. We also put in there, I believe, the hunger, like what doable hunger chart for what it feels like at the different stages. So make sure you check that out. It's also, we can drop the link in here, Kara, but there is also, it's in module one of No BS for, I think it's in the doable hunger lesson. There is that cheat sheet that will give you the rankings of everything. You might want to take a look at that. But no, we're not supposed to get really hungry. When on the struggle bus, will you suggest most of us use as a reboot? If you're on the struggle bus right now, come to the summer reset, period. This weekend, Saturday, that's what I would do. I had to get an accountability group. Number one, all of you, if you are struggling, you should have an accountability group. Do not be sitting there trying to work this shit all by yourself. If you are in an accountability group that is not doing it for you, this is what you do. You request a new one and you tell the group you're going to try a new group because you want to see if you can shake things up for yourself. There is no shame in leaving a group if it's not working out for you. Our goal is to get you in a group that does work for you. So just go to the website, pull down the menu. It's on the menu about accountability groups and request one. But if you're on the struggle bus, that's the first thing I would do is I would start either Basics 2.0 or I would start No BS. And then I would get an accountability group. And here's what else I would do that a lot of you don't do enough of. We have this magic feature called Ask Coaches, where if you're going through one of our courses, you can do your worksheets, post your shit and ask coaches and ask them for feedback as much as you want. Every discovery worksheet, you can take it to ask coaches and say, like, here's what I find. What do you think? Am I on the right track? Is there any insights that you can give me? Any questions that I could be answering that will help me get clarity? There's like a thousand things. Like if you, let's say you're on the struggle bus, do 24-hour plans for a week. Every single day, take your plan. Post and ask coaches, here's what I planned and here's what happened. Let them give you feedback until you get to where you can follow the fucking plan. Y'all, there is so much help here for you. But most of you are just sitting back like waiting for, I don't know, like divine intervention. Potion or magic words. The only words that are magic are going to be the ones that when I say this, here are things you can do for yourself. But at the end of the day, you've got to be willing to do it. You've got to love yourself enough to take the next step. You got to quit telling yourself that I can't lose weight. You got to say, like, it's not that I can't lose weight. It's that today I need help. Like all of you, when you sit there and think like, I can't lose weight, I can't follow my plan, whatever your I can't bullshit is, I want you to tell yourself it's not true. The truth is today I need help. And here is where I'm going to get the help. It is everywhere inside of No BS. I don't know another weight loss program out there that gives as much fucking real life human help as we do. I tell my team all the time, I am going to throw humans at this problem until I don't have enough humans to throw. And I'm not joking. This is why you don't get bots. This is why you don't get like automatic responses and stuff. Real life people answer your questions, but you got to be a human who asks questions. You got to reach out. Don't just sit in the ocean. But like, I hope somebody comes and save me drowning. Scream, motherfucker. Wave your hands. Let us throw you the life preserver. But if we don't know you're out there, hey, there ain't much I can do for you. So raise your hand. Get accountability groups. Ask for as many as you need. I'd like to see, we have right now, 39% of our members. I believe the number they gave me yesterday was like 39% of our members have an accountability group or partner. That's bullshit. It should be 100% of you. Now, I know there's a few of you who like, let's say 95%. 5% of you are just like, I don't need, like, I'm a solo artist. I do great on my own. Thank you very much. I'm a no. That's fine. But a lot of you are here because you are not a great solo artist. You know why you're here? Because you've realized weight loss is fucking lonely. Weight loss is a hard journey without expert help. Get a group. Get into Ask Coaches. Get into that Facebook group. Ask questions. When I throw shit out for y'all to do, actually go and do the work in there. Use that group to work together. There is so much energy and synergy. And I think this is important in weight loss. Because when you feel like you're working with a group, you get caught up in the momentum of it. But you got to be getting into it, not just sitting back going like, well, look at all these people doing the work but me. Wah, wah, wah. I suck. That is a red flag. When all you do is if you look out and you use it against yourself, you need to tell yourself, oh, that's my old thinking. That is exactly what Corinne said to watch out for. My brain is going to go and it's going to look for, it's going to feed my insecurities. So if my insecurity is I can't lose weight, if my insecurity is I can't do this, I will see inside the group people doing shit and think I must be broken. That's on me to say in that moment, that's an old shitty thought. It's just like what I did back in the day. That's my old thinking. That's the version of me that's always thought this way. And we're not doing that anymore. If these women can do it, so can I. I don't have a collection of Barbies inside of No BS. You know who's in No BS? Real fucking women that relate to my story. We are all here because weight has been a big struggle for us. We are all here because we have had problems. You are not a unicorn in this group. And you are not surrounded by people that have superpowers or who like were, you know, born gymnasts as a child, naturally thin. You're not in one of those beach body groups. You're not in one of those other groups where like CrossFit and stuff, where you're the one black sheep with all the people who, you know, like, I just love carrots for lunch. You're not there. You are with real fucking people with your exact problems. You ain't got no shame. And this is the thing. If they can do it, you need to look at it. And you need to be like, this is supposed to give me hope. And if it's not giving me hope, then I need to change my thinking. I don't, like, don't quit over it. Because here's what happens. When you look into the group and you compare and tear yourself down, you take one step closer to quitting. And if you quit, you know what happens? You reinforce your own belief that you're a disaster. That's all that happens. It's not because you are one. It's because you didn't change your thinking on purpose. You did not allow your, like, I would rather you be uncomfortable trying to believe you're someone different than to be comfortable with quitting. Because it's like, yeah, I knew it. You know, what a relief. I knew what a fuck up I am. I'm out of here. You do not want that relief. Because in a couple of weeks, you will be right back to where you were when you found us. Uncomfortable because you're not losing weight and sitting around searching for another answer. I'm just going to tell all of you, I don't think there's a better answer out there. I promise every one of you. If I really thought that there was something out there better than us, I'd send every one of your asses over there. I would not ask anybody to stay in no BS for any reason other than I do think we're the best program. I think we are working on all the areas of your life. I would not want any of you to not be able to lose your weight because, like, I kept you from something better. Just know I will always try to give you everything you're going to need to lose that weight. But you got to ask and you got to use the tools and you got to feel uncomfortable and you got to sometimes be ashamed to be asking the question. And sometimes you got to read what other people are posting and feel like it can't be you and pivot your thinking. The most uncomfortable thing we're going to be doing inside of No BS is changing how you think. That will lead to changing how you eat. All right. If I didn't get to you today, please make sure. Yes, there will be replays for Saturday's program. Don't worry if you can't come live on Saturday. We will have replays of the summer reset. No worries about that. If I didn't get your question today, though, just take it to Facebook or to Ask Coaches, either one, and it'll get answered. I got through as many as I could. I unfortunately forgot to promote Dina today, so she couldn't get to anybody that asked questions before she got promoted. But we went long today. I hope that you all have a great day. I will see you on Saturday, and then I'll also see you on Sunday for coaching as usual. I believe we have Queen's Club and weight loss coaching on Sunday. So y'all will be getting all the coaching this weekend. But other than that, keep doing your hunger games, your hunger challenge this week. I'll see you on Saturday. Be prepared. We're going to have a great day. I'm going to play the music, do all the things, and just have a great week. Bye, y'all.